Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
That performance from PCA last night, that little movie within the game.
It's like we're watching a movie starring Pete Pro Armstrong in this eighth inning.
Where all of a sudden, he makes this unbelievable defensive play. He hits this home run into the video board.
He is the natural.
Where all of a sudden, even the manager, I don't know that he would have said stuff like that a year ago, but he was impressed.
That's why we come to the ballpark.
Last year, I think you can make the argument that Pete Crow Armstrong, there were times where maybe he acted a little bit more like he had arrived before he had actually arrived. And that's part of his confidence, and that's part of his cockiness. But now he certainly has backed it up, and I think you're seeing guys unafraid to say, I think even the tone of the conversation with teammates who are on the station, Ian Happ, Nico Horner. There's a respect level that they talk about Pete Crow Armstrong.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, 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 we got rained out, Mr. David. No baseball last night. Pity to have both teams rained out. I just the very fact that they're both in Chicago is weird, and we get hit with the weather, so that, there you go.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, that's summer in Chicago. You get all ready for a big day, and then Mother Nature has other ideas. Today, I thought we were going to have head-to-head doubleheaders, and the Cubs could have done that, but they rescheduled for an August against the Brewers. They see them more often, whereas the Sox and the Cardinals
never see each other.
Yeah.
This is a one-off.
So they're going to play all day at Wright Field.
Yeah, that's
all
pretty cool.
Long.
They're going to start at 11, and then they'll take a break after that game, and then they'll play their other game whenever that ends
up. I think they start at 1:10.
Is it 1:10? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think they start at 1:10.
Maybe the pregame festivities start at 11.
Yeah, probably so. That's probably they're getting going. They might be there now. There might be people tailgating. They like to have it's a hearty crew, Sox fans.
And they're going to take 30 minutes to 45 minutes between games?
Yeah. It's an old-fashioned doubleheader.
Yeah.
It's the way they used to do them.
Yeah, straight doubleheader.
Yeah, and then they will play tonight into the night. So, Sean Burke, game one. Mike Vassell, a bullpen game too. Your bullpen is pretty much a bullpen day, period.
Yeah.
Everybody, all hands on deck, all arms ready.
Maybe that's good for the Cubs, though. I mean, ultimately, when you think about it, I hate having backloaded games because you just worry that if you need a game, you don't want too many late. But they're in the middle of this, 25 and 26 days or whatever it is. Probably nice to get a day off.
I don't think it's ever bad to get a day off, yeah. But I also believe that in August you will look back and wish that they would have played.
Yes.
Because there'll be in some sort of starting pitching crisis or bullpen dilemma.
Yes.
And or maybe Kyle Tucker will need a rest day.
I know.
You look later in the season, and those are the days, the dog days of August, if you will.
Yes.
Where you will you want those. You want those idle moments.
They could be 30 games clear by then.
They might be.
Yeah.
And today, yesterday was not a bad day to rest and recover and do whatever you do on a day where you get a surprise break. And it was a nice surprise. So tonight, they're back at – or today, it's a day game. Jameson Taillon. What did the Brewers end up doing? Did they float Mazeroski? Is he coming back?
Yep, he's coming back, at least according to all the websites.
So today's matchup will be what yesterday's was supposed to be.
Right.
That's good. I'm glad because I'm just curiosity.
And is this an opportunity to skip a guy or would you not? I mean, Cade Horton's been so good. I don't know if now's the time to skip him.
I'd skip him.
I think they're going to skip him.
I think you have to look at these as invitations to take advantage.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because of innings and the length.
And Craig Council wasn't forthcoming with the information.
Boy.
When that happens.
Yeah. That means there's something to hide.
Yeah. He was back to being the guy that essentially isn't having as much fun. The guy who has no fun. The very short clipped answers. That's okay, though. That's okay. You want him in that mode. And I think they're probably maybe still discussing it, pros and cons, because what you said, Horton has been pitching well, and you could justify just keeping him going.
Right.
At the same time, when you are open about what you're looking at with Cade Horton and understanding that he's headed toward an all-time
innings number, no question.
A higher number than he's ever reached.
Yep.
Then you look for these opportunities, built-in kind of invitations to rest him. So if they skip him for a turn in the rotation, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, I guess so. And as we say, with all the games coming as fast as they are.
They got the Mariners coming to town.
Oh, I know.
That's not something you don't know much about the Mariners.
Well,
I just know
their
manager is Dan Wilson, and he's a local guy.
Oh, Dan Wilson, I actually saw him play in high school, Barrington High School. He was a catcher. If it's the same guy.
Yes, it is the same guy.
Yeah, he was, he did literally, and I'm not making this up, he did everything but drive the school bus. He was a phenom. He was a phenomenal catcher. He was a pitcher. Barrington won a state championship when he was a junior.
Wow.
And they got back there his senior year. And they got stuffed in the championship game. It was wild. They just had an inning they couldn't get out of. But that kid...
Born in Arlington Heights.
He was unbelievable. He would catch, and then he would pitch. He would, in the same game, he came in as a reliever while being the catcher, and then went back to catching.
And he led his hometown team from Barrington to a third-place finish in the 1981 Little League World Series.
I think Kirby Smart. They won the Little League World Series, and the same group of kids came back and won a state championship.
No doubt.
Isn't
really?
That wild?
Wow,
it was a great
no kidding.
Story. Yeah.
Dan
really
Wilson?
Dan Wilson was the junior star.
I knew he was local. I didn't know all that.
Of their team. Yeah, great kid.
I'm hoping
he looked like the natural. You know, he just had this kind of. He was this kind of not overly tall, but just looked like an athlete. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of true baseball player. Man, he was a hell of a player.
14 years in the majors, he had to do something right.
Yeah, he played for 14, a long time.
He played in 1,299 games, according to Baseball Reference.
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that wild?
Well, he is on good terms with Bruce Levine, our guest at 7:25, and hopefully he will be joining us Saturday morning, or at least we're efforting.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Good.
And I will bring up all of the trivia
tell
off the top of your head shared.
I was covering
That's
high
very
school
impressive.
For the Sun Times.
It's very impressive.
When I was a young man before I even, I think I might have been still in school. Yeah. And I want to say, I think it was Springfield. Is that where they played in those days? But we went down there on
for the state championship.
But you don't think of the Mariners Cubs as a Wrigley Field matchup that can't miss. You know, you don't want to miss that one.
As a Barrington kid, he had to be a Cub fan growing up, right?
You would think so.
You would think so.
You never know.
Yeah, every now and then. Every once in a while.
Yeah. He was born in Arlington Heights, went to Barrington, probably was a Cub fan.
Yeah.
And probably was.
But, we said that about the Pope.
And look at that. Did you see the video making the rounds of the people? He was in some sort of parade or not parade, but
like the Pope
procession.
Mobile,
yeah, the Pope Mobile. Yeah. And there were people chanting White Sox, White Sox. And he was chanting back to them.
That's so awesome. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like just the idea that he has a fandom that people know about and he joins in with them is hysterical.
It's like Sox fans can't believe that there might be on a prayer chain.
That's so
that involves the Pope.
Well, if you're a Sox fan, you're on a prayer chain.
Constantly.
If you're still a fan.
Yeah, if you're still a fan.
It's after the last few years.
A perpetual prayer chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now he has papal reach.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
Good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but it was pretty funny. It's making the rounds on social media and all the acknowledgments of the South Side, of the White Sox, of Chicago is just really cool. It's still never – it's going to be like that for a while. The novelty is going to take a while before it wears off.
Yeah, it's definitely going to – it's going to be there for a while. Did you see – speaking of people chanting, did you see your buddy Seth Jones? They apparently went out all night and just kept going, and they were at some bar, a terraced area in Florida, and the crowd, he came out and he was with Matthew Tkachuk, who kept pointing at him as the crowd chanted, "Thank you, Blackhawks," and he joined in the chant.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what you do.
It's, yes,
they did the same thing with "Thank you, Boston."
He can celebrate silently, and Matthew Tkachuk can go get one of his several surgeries that he's requiring right now.
Go get yourself fixed, son.
Go get fixed. That's fine.
Yeah.
Let them celebrate.
Just mentioning it.
I'm all panthered out.
Yeah, no.
Two cups in a row.
I'm just saying this is the Blackhawks, being acknowledged.
Is the suggestion that they don't win without Seth Jones?
First of all,
I wouldn't suggest that.
I don't think that's accurate. But he
would not suggest that.
He did leave the Blackhawks, and he did.
Hold on, let me rephrase that.
Stanley
he Cup. Talked his way out of town.
I am well aware.
He forced the issue,
and he
became a malcontent, so he had to go.
And he
is that a good like
and
good
he won the Stanley Cup
example to set?
I think he's probably happy.
Oh wait, where's the handbook here? Here's the malcontent handbook. Oh, yeah. Overpaid defenseman, how do I get to a winning team? Oh, I'm going to talk my way out of town.
This is what he did.
And
the problem is they paid him a fortune,
exactly.
And they treated him very well.
And thank you for Spencer Knight if you're the Blackhawks. Yes, you got a goaltender that you think can be a good young goalie for years to come.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping. But I don't like the way he went about his business.
Right. That's why I brought up the
thank you.
Chanting of the
thank you,
Blackhawks.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blackhawks.
I thought you would. I wanted to make sure you saw it.
I did. I saw it. I saw all the celebrations with Marchand, and they're still going, probably.
You want to talk about Man United losing that game, or
what happened with that? What happened? Did they lose?
Yeah, you're so clever. payback.
Well, no. Wait, you're going way back. Oh my gosh, I don't even remember the reference. My soccer references are so few and far between.
Yeah,
it was that when they were playing Man City?
No.
Okay.
No, they were playing Spurs.
Spurs.
That's okay.
Yeah, I did see some of the celebrations and all the stuff, but that's South Florida hockey dynasty, right? I guess they're going to be a dynasty now.
Are we going to have Mark Walter on later? Dustino, he's a Chicago guy.
Northwestern grad.
Well, I think he went to Creighton, but he went to the law school.
Northwestern law school.
And he's on the board.
Yes.
He's on the
well-connected Northwestern University.
I think his wife went to Northwestern.
Wife's on the Lincoln Park Zoo board.
Yeah, they live in Lincoln Park.
A daughter lives in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I thought they live here.
I'm sure he has a home anywhere he wants to.
Well, he just bought the Lakers.
He's from Iowa. oddly enough. Isn't that wild? Cedar Rapids, I think.
I mean, what a portfolio. You own the Dodgers and you own the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, he already owned like 27%, right, of the Lakers. But what's incredible is the price they're paying. The valuation of the Lakers, I think the last Forbes thing was like $6.8 billion. They're paying $10 billion.
Yes.
In this deal. Now, he's already, he owns a portion of it, so I suppose you want to value it as high as you can, but I don't know how normal humans would ever own a sports franchise ever again. It seems like just
what is
if
the Lakers?
You have one, sell it to yes. a billionaire.
Well, it is the Lakers, so this is going to be one of the highest valued, most expensive.
Yes.
If you're in the market
it's the entertainment industry.
A professional sports
yes.
franchise,
yes.
it will be near the top of the list.
Always.
In terms of valuation, along with the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Lakers, and now...
But they were listed, I think, third, David, in the NBA, or fourth. They're behind Golden State.
But now, though, they're worth $10 billion, but that's significantly higher than they were valued.
That's what I'm saying.
And so you wonder what metrics they're using to determine those... valuations.
Yeah.
And so I thought, crazy. Okay, if that's the case, what are the Bears really worth?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What are the Bears really
why
worth?
Why wouldn't you try? Why wouldn't you look and find out?
Are there how many Mark Walters are walking around?
Well, I think there's more than you think. I think there's still, what's his name's getting married. That guy's got more money than anybody.
Who's getting married?
Who's getting married? Who's the
Bezos?
Amazon guy? Bezos is getting married. Is he getting married this weekend, Dustin? Have you got your invite?
I haven't been able to subscribe to People Magazine for a while.
Ask Mitch. He's got extra copies.
He's got a copy.
He likes getting... Mitch is a People Magazine guy.
Oh,
I usually see the headlines, but I've been doing a lot of the self-checkout lately instead of going through the traditional checkout line. They don't usually have the magazines by the self-checkout.
They want to get you in and out of there. They don't want you lingering.
Yeah.
The only reason those are where they are in grocery stores is because they know people are going to be waiting. And they want you to see the headlines, and they see what they see the front covers that they want you to buy. And when you're going through the self-checkout, they want you to go fast. Faster the better. Don't linger.
The problem with the self-checkout, though, is that typically I will buy a McUltra or I'll buy a flight Yingling, and then I got to wait.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
well,
you
most people do buy alcohol when they go to
a lot of times,
store.
Too, like...
Yeah, because you got to get carded.
A lot of times, too, the checkers now are not of age. So then you have to wait even
wait
longer because they've
got to
call somebody over that is of age.
Yeah. Situation 21. Yeah, something like that.
I often wonder when Situation 21 happens. Like I often think, like, I get it that, you know, it's technically, it's a legality, you got to card me. But mm-hmm. do you think this is an elaborate ruse? Do you think that I got like a Hollywood makeup artist and aged myself like this just so I could buy a six pack?
They just want to chronicle your drinking habits. That's all they're doing. Someone somewhere is like studying the drinking habits of everyone who checks in with their ID and buys a McUltra or maybe a bottle of tequila or whatever it is if you're buying alcohol or liquor at the store.
Can't they do that through the nanotechnology and the vaccine?
I think the microchip in my neck would tell me that they can follow me anywhere.
Didn't Aaron Rodgers say that and Joe Rogan push back?
Something to that effect.
I just think it's unbelievable.
Something to
There's
that effect.
There's nanotechnology that gathers from the... What?
Nonetheless, back to the whole idea of the valuation of pro sports franchises. $10 billion for the Lakers.
That's unbelievable.
It was eye-popping.
Yeah.
And there won't be maybe significant differences if you read and you listen and all the things. But I believe, though, that Jeannie Buss will still maintain her role as the role
yes.
as governor.
Governor. She's still the governor.
She's going to govern the Lakers.
Yeah.
And
I think,
Walter,
if I'm not mistaken, whether she wants it or not, they're sending the National Guard in.
But what's funny about that, or interesting, whatever the right word is, that Mark Cuban also, when his deal was made, mm-hmm. was the governor, and he had zero say on Luka. So I'm just saying, like, it might just be
a figurehead position
that gets paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that you just sold the team for $10 billion. Now, on top of that, you get a multi-million-dollar yearly fee to be the governor. But then when we decide to do something, we really don't bother to invite you to the meeting.
Well, maybe you don't have much say in personnel matters.
I'm just saying,
like,
as an example, Mark Cuban also was the governor, and we saw how much say he did or did not have in the Luka deal.
Why do you say it like that?
So if you listen to the pregame before me, the network radio show.
Okay.
So the announcer for the Lakers actually goes into this full Luka, and the gentleman who does overnights, who does a nice job, he like has gone over the top with that. So that's the Luka.
Okay. Good origin story.
Yeah. Wow.
1 billion, gajillion, fifillion, shabadoodle million, shabadoodle million. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
He says it exactly like Dr. Evil. Exactly.
It's a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness.
The Bears aren't for sale, though. That's a big difference, too.
Well, 2%. Does he want to buy the 2%?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
does he want to get in?
Honestly.
Right?
Well,
does he want to get in a little bit?
But what is that valued at? I mean, who makes that determination?
Well, right. We did the math yesterday. If it's worth $6.2 billion, yeah. 2% of that's like $124 million.
What if it's worth $10 billion?
Walking around money
for
that guy.
Why are we pretending like it's only worth $6.2?
Because that's what Forbes tells us, has told us.
I know, but
we have trusted that as a ranking.
They were wrong about
in terms of the valuation. I guess that is it. Why they, in the fine print, they would call it an estimate. That's their disclaimer.
Guesstimate.
It is a guesstimate.
Yeah.
Because you don't really expect these franchises to be sold. That's why the news was a bit...
Yeah.
The names weren't surprising. The transaction was a little bit of something that caught some people off guard.
Well, I think what's crazy about it is learning, and I guess I haven't spent a ton of time studying the Lakers. Apparently a fairly small organization. For all their success, mm-hmm. for all the years of doing as well as they have and getting every superstar, they can afford to bring on, like, 700 people to fill out the NBA kind of.
They do things on a
little. They don't do things on a smaller scale.
As grand of a scale as you would expect
for
being the Lakers and NBA royalty and all of the
exactly
flash
right.
and the showtime and glitz and glamour.
That's it.
And they do operate fairly modestly
by
comparison. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Mark Walter, what will he. I thought the funniest thing I saw yesterday about this transaction and what it would mean was when Dave Roberts was asked before the Dodgers Padres game if Shohei Ohtani was going to be a Laker. And he said something to the effect of, well, they have enough superstars.
Yeah.
They have enough.
He's tall for a baseball player.
By the way, that series in San Diego and the Padres and the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers.
Very interesting.
Yes, it's a good one.
They threw at Shohei mm-hmm. the other day. And that is, and Dave Roberts gets thrown out because you have to defend Shohei.
Yeah, can't shoot, can't be throwing at him.
Who throws at Shohei Ohtani?
Apparently San Diego.
Man, that's gutsy. I guess they felt...
is that gutsy? Or is it an act of cowardice?
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to put it. They felt like the Dodgers were targeting Fernando Tatis.
Yes.
So an eye for an eye. That's a really bad idea, though.
No, throwing at people is a great way to get someone. Not only, I mean, you could kill someone, but I mean, what if you break his hand? What if you hit him in the hand, and now he's out for a couple months? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's horrible. You don't want throwing the baseball to be this kind of act of violence that you're gonna. Well, we'll show him. It's just a bad idea.
You shouldn't be weaponizing your pitchers.
That's right. Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Crazy idea.
So we got a lot going on. We got a good guest today. Connor McKnight, also Mike Palm, and then Christine Brennan.
I'm looking forward to that.
Longtime columnist.
Because they're going through the same issue we're just talking about here in the WNBA with people Caitlin Clark got poked in the eye, and then her teammate tackles a girl. They had two ejections in that game, two flagrant.
It got ugly.
I mean, what are you doing?
Well,
officiating in that league, man. You hear the people in the league complain about it. You got to get better than that.
They've got an officiating problem, but they also may have a targeting problem.
Yes, yes.
So I guess one is related to the other.
Right, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you got to come down on people and not allow that stuff to go on.
Yeah.
That's ugly.
So she's definitely a good person to talk to because the book comes out in a week or so. And the early reviews of people who have seen it, very good.
Yeah,
I'm sure. She's a good reporter. Excellent writer.
Excellent writer, no question about that. All right, we got a ton to get into. We'll get into all of it. It is Mully and Hall. We got the pick six next. We have a texter wants to know, it's Bezos on the Amazon gift registry. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you disappointed both baseball games were canceled last night? Is MLB to blame for having both teams in town at the exact same time? What do you prefer, the Sox playing a straight doubleheader starting at 1 and then a second game 30 to 45 minutes after, or the Cubs rescheduling for a split doubleheader on the 18th of August, game 1, 120, game 2, 705?
Yeah, you know, I don't know which I prefer. I think I'm pleased that the Sox are just getting it and going, but I don't know if that's a good idea for the Cubs, because I don't know. You know, they play Milwaukee enough that they don't have to try to get the game in or figure out, you know, the Sox and the Cardinals, it's kind of a rare event, and they're not coming back to Chicago to play the White Sox. So could you look at the schedule and squeeze in a game and kind of, I don't think they'd want to do that. So I think both teams are kind of doing more or less what they have to do. I think it probably helps the Cubs in the short term. I don't know where they're going to be by the end of the year, and you always hate having extra games floating around out there. But that's kind of life in the big leagues. That's just kind of what happens. I don't know that it has anything to do with the fact that both teams are in town, or that we can't. I kind of like having both teams in town. I think it's kind of cool, but. I don't know. It'd be nice if they had one team play early and one team play late, so you could probably do a doubleheader yourself. It'd be a fun thing to just, you know, ride the L between the two games. That'd be a real kick. I think, you know, I feel bad for Matt Spiegel. He was supposed to sing the national anthem last night, and we were looking forward to that, and he got rained out. And I just wonder, does he sing the national anthem now on that doubleheader on the 18th? Is that what happens, or how does that work? And is that convenient? You just think of a thousand things.
I felt gypped last night, but I do want to tip the cap either to MLB or the Cubs and Sox, however they did it, because you didn't get. There's nothing worse than when you're a fan and you're thinking, "Well, I got a ticket. I'm not sure they could make this thing last all night." And you go into the stadium, you have a couple of dogs, a couple of brews, and then you get sent home. So at least you knew, even if you were like on your way to get down there early to get involved in the festivities.
Yeah, they called the game early.
You knew to turn around or to go somewhere else and try to enjoy yourself. So at least there was that. I mean, the Cubs could use the day off. They were in a 26 games in 27 days, something along those lines stretch. So now it's 24 and 27 or something like that. So that's not a terrible thing. You're also taking a day off the calendar. You know, this is, you know, Shota's getting closer, right? So now, you know, that's the Brewers probably aren't going away. So the Cubs will be as good as they're playing right now. They'll be hopefully in even better shape come the middle of August when this is now going to be a doubleheader. Right, so that's a good thing. We might have a skipped starter or some type of shuffling. That could be a good thing. As far as the White Sox, typically you don't get swept in a doubleheader. So this is an opportunity for the White Sox to at least take care of the Cardinals in one, for this Cub fan anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame Major League Baseball for anything. I think this is just one of those things you have to accept. You can't control the weather. It's a different dynamic, though, when deciding if you're the Cubs or the Sox. The equations are different if you're, what do we do with a doubleheader? The Sox are playing a straight doubleheader. So the suggestion in that is that if you go walk in at noon, you leave at 9, you can stay for 9 hours of baseball and have one ticket, right?
That's pretty good.
The Cubs have a split doubleheader on August 18th, which means that presumably, you have game one, everybody leave, and you have tickets for game two. So you have two gates.
Yeah.
And the Cubs already have played two of their home games, air quotes, in Japan. And
so
I know Major League Baseball made them whole, and that's part of the deal. But I do think that they're more reluctant, like, probably to give up a home date than the White Sox would.
That's a good point.
So I think when you're looking at why they did what they did, perhaps that's part of the reason. I think kicking the can down the road sometimes can bring you a little bit of trouble when you say, oh, boy, why do we have this many games in this small of a stretch? Because we've already made a lot out of 26 games in 27 days. And now, yes, they get an extra day rest from yesterday, but eventually that will catch up with you. Maybe in August it won't matter as much, but I do think it gives us some options we'll talk about. But when you're talking about what they could have done differently, they handled it the way that each team handled it in the best way possible for their respective interests. And I think that's something to remember too, because they're two very different interests.
I mean, I think you asked like four questions there.
There is the voice of a perturbed Craig Counsell, not enjoying his team being in first place, I guess. And whatever, that's baseball, right, Craig? Wednesday's postponement pushed Jameson Taillon back to today against the Brewers. Bumps Cade Horton. So when? If you're the Cubs, do you skip Horton or do you start him Friday against the Mariners? Or does it depend on how things go today?
I don't think you want to get into a situation where it's dependent on a win or a loss on June 19th, whether or not you're going to pitch your rookie the next day. You want him to know what's happening. You want to be able to defend the decision, and you want to think it through. And maybe when we heard from Craig Counsell yesterday, he hadn't done that yet, or they hadn't discussed it yet. A lot of different layers to this, but I think it is as complicated as it sounds. Very simple. You're looking for an opportunity to give Cade Horton a little bit of a rest. And so you skip him. You skip him for the Mariners series. You hope that he comes back and you pitch his bullpens and want to do a simulated game to keep him sharp or whatever the case is. But when you look at his innings and we start to do the math with his future starts and you project the rest of the season as we have done already with Cade Horton, and I know the Cubs are doing too, this is an opportunity. It's an invitation to rest a young starter who has contributed in a meaningful way so far to continue to contribute in a meaningful way, provided he gets the rest that now you can afford him.
I would skip the start. First of all, it's the Mariners. They're not in your division, and I know every game counts. I'm totally aware of that. I bang that drum all the time that every game counts. But would you rather have him facing somebody in the division? If he right, would you rather him face a team in your division? I believe after the Mariners, I think they've got some time with the Cardinals, and they do. They have four games at the Cardinals beginning on Monday. That, of course, is going to be the 23rd. So you've got four games down there, and maybe you find a way to get him out there against the Cardinals in the division, or maybe, you know, it goes all the way until they're at the Astros the following weekend. But I think you do the best, and whatever they decide, I think at this point you have to trust them. They have been really playing the pitching merry-go-round for the most part at a pretty high percentage.
Yeah, I think that I think you're right about that, Dustin. I think that that's something that you got to really take into consideration when you think about these sorts of things. You know, it's the problem. The problem always is going to be the same, which is trying to figure out what's going to happen down the road and trying to separate the right now from the what will be. And I don't think you have a crystal ball. So, you know, in a week, things could be different than they are right now. In 2 weeks, you could regret something, or it may work out perfectly. It's just, I don't know how you, I don't know how you do that. I think you have such a gap of information. You just try to do what's right for right now and then worry about it later.
Well, I think that's a good question.
What happens tonight in Game 6 of the NBA Finals? Will Tyrese Halliburton play in the game despite the right hamstring injury? Can the Pacers force a Game 7, or does it end tonight in Indy?
Well, I think the Tyrese Halliburton thing is fascinating because I think if he decides to play and he wants to play and he's fighting to play, I think that you'll know immediately. I mean, it was very apparent when he came back in the game that he couldn't, he couldn't dominate. He couldn't run very well. I mean, he just didn't have any push. And I think that when you saw that, you were kind of, oh no. So I think you're better off if he's not, I'll say like 85% ready to go. I mean, after that point, I wouldn't play him. And I think Rick Carlisle does a really good job and makes great adjustments. I don't know what adjustments he has. I think that you would you could conservatively say maybe he starts the game, but you don't want to get an injury that would, let's just say you win, that would prevent him from being 85% the next time out. But this is it. This is the last. I mean, it's like you're almost like a hockey player. You got to play without teeth if it comes to it. You got to, you know, hernia, schmernia. You'll have your surgery later. But I don't know that you can do that if you have a calf issue. And I don't know that you can play basketball if you can't jump or you can't run. And if you can't score, you can't have him on the floor. So I think you'll know very quickly if he's a danger or not. And the fact that he played the last game and was of absolute, like, no danger to the opponent, and that's a good defensive team, and they got a lot of guys. I'm not saying you just give up on the idea of it, but I think I would give up on it quickly if he's not able to play. You know what I mean? I mean, I might not. I think Rick Carlisle will do what's best for his team, not for the player.
It's tough. You haven't been in the finals in a quarter of a century, right? 25 years, they haven't been there. You're there. You've actually extended it farther than most people, I'll raise my hand, thought. I thought it'd be a gentleman's sweep, even to the point that I was being pro-Pacer. I was looking for the upset, just for the historical and the story of it all. You can't rest the guy because you can't say, well, if there's a game seven, then we want, because what if there's not a game seven?
You might be able to win at home with your bench. You're never going to be able to do that on the road.
Correct. But you can't do the shoulda, coulda, woulda. Unless he can't walk, I'm sure he's been doing all the stim and all the this and the massage and the hydration, everything possible. He's got to go out there. He's got to go out there and test it. And again, if you can't run, that's a whole other story, right? If you can't get back on defense, if you can't move without the ball, that's a totally other. But if you know, 75% of him is supposed to be better than the eighth or ninth guy on the bench. So unless he can't put weight on the leg and can't move, he's got to play.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you can end your season with no championship, but you cannot end your season with regrets, and you're going to regret not trying if you're Tyrese Halliburton or if you're Rick Carlisle or the Pacers. You got to find out what he's capable of doing. It may be that he can't go or that he's not capable of guarding anybody or distributing the ball or whatever the case may be. Yeah. I don't think you can look at this as an opportunity to just, you know, shelve him before you try, because he means this isn't a role player. This isn't a token starter. This isn't anything but your best player, the guy who is Mr. Clutch. So actually seeing him out there could be an emotional lift in a game where you're going to need every little bit. Every possession matters. Protect the basketball. Be more careful. You can't have the turnovers. You can't have the fast break points. I think that they will try to play him, even if he's 70% or better. Tyrese Halliburton is not going to want to look back and wonder if I could have gone if they lose by 10. So I think he plays. I think they give it a good effort, but I think it probably ends tonight, unfortunately.
I'm not really in the mood to answer that question.
Okay. Not in the mood to answer that question. Interesting, LeBron. What is the bigger surprise? The Buss family selling a majority share of the Lakers or the selling at a valuation of $10 billion? Since it's the largest price even in a sale of a U.S. professional sports team, will more current owners follow suit? Is the money just getting too crazy?
Well, that's a question you could ask almost with every big contract, whether it's Juan Soto or Shohei Ohtani. You can ask it with the sale of the Lakers for $10 billion, a franchise that was purchased in 1979 by Jerry Buss for $67 million. $67.5 million, and now it's a $10 billion enterprise. So the price tag was eye-popping. And it was a bit of a surprise. And if you are an owner of a professional sports team, you might be tempted to explore, have your people explore, because I'm sure there are people who do this, what you could get and who might be interested. There aren't very many people out there that can afford a $10 billion expenditure or investment. Maybe there's a groups of people. But yeah, I think the money thing is something that we continue to marvel at, and it's hard to relate to. But with the Lakers, I was surprised not by the people involved. I was surprised at the valuation of them prior to the sale being as far off from the sale price. And it does make you wonder what some of these other valuations mean. And in Chicago, you always look at it through the Bears prism. So if they're valued at $6.2 billion based on the last Forbes estimation, is this an $8 billion enterprise that they're sitting on right now?
This is a really interesting one. Just if I did it right, and I probably didn't, but I thought I wanted to do this. David, you're really good at math on top of a lot of other things. But so 60, if 67 million, you said, in 1979,
yep.
That's like not quite 3 billion. That would be like 3 billion back then. Right. So I'm just saying, like, just think, like, you know, a lot of times you have to think, OK, well, in today's money versus money back then. Mm-hmm. So it's like mm-hmm. a $7 billion upside. Right. Mm-hmm. It's great. If I did it right. I'm not saying I did. I just tried to do something really in really quick. Right. But you wonder if a lot of other owners behind the scenes are doing this. And does it say something? Do the owners think, like, listen, they're not going to like. The bottom's not falling out, but they think it's never going to be higher than this. It's never, ever, ever going to be higher than this. So get out while the getting's good.
Yeah, I don't know how that doesn't go through your head. The thing is, the money, and you're right, David, whatever contract it might be, as the money goes up, you think, oh my God, like, look how crazy that money is. No one's going to ever make money like Ohtani does. And then you see other contracts like, holy cow, that's not worth that. And then we talk casually about, oh, you got to come up with $500 million for that guy. I don't know that that's part of the plan. But Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers, and I get it. It's the Clippers for $2 billion. And I thought that was insane. And this is five times that price. And that's not that long ago.
In the same market.
In the same market. But again, you know, different ends of the market.
Sure.
But I think that when you see, you know, smart money, and these are not idiots, these people, the Dodgers, the reason they spend the money they spend is because they're making money. The reason they're able to do what they're doing, they don't care. There's no salary cap in baseball, but they'll operate the same way with the Lakers, and they will make money on this deal eventually.
Eventually.
There's not a shadow of a doubt because of the way they operate. And it is a huge product, and they can take advantage of some things. I wonder if you are the Bears, for instance. And the Bears are a great example because it's a family business. It's not like deep pocket business. At some point, is the price getting so high that you almost have to jump in? I think that you would be foolish if you weren't doing your research and trying to figure out what you could get for a team and how every family member. You could pay off anyone connected with the founder of the team.
Well,
I think it's crazy.
The number of McCaskies who are affected by this, you wonder how many of them have the same questions this morning after they see this sale price. The other thing, I think, from a Chicago perspective is you got to wonder, if the Lakers are worth $10 billion, what are the Cubs valued at $4.6 billion really worth? Because is the Lakers worth twice as much as the Chicago Cubs organization? I can't believe that.
But don't you think that the Cubs, you know, the family has money. They buy the Cubs. They invest in it. Mm-hmm. It seems like that is kind of, they have committed to kind of generationally owning the team.
They have. So they're not selling. I'm just saying from a value standpoint, the Lakers being worth twice as much as what the Chicago Cubs are worth right now.
That's their television deal.
It's stunning. And by the way, Dustin, $67.5 million in 1979 would be worth $299 million today based on whatever inflation calculator you're using.
And instead it's $10 billion. Come on.
So I was off. I was way off.
No, the $300 million investment. It'd be like $67.5 million then is like $300 million now in terms of an investment. So they turned that into a $10 billion. The Buss family turned that into a $10 billion.
It's unbelievable.
You know you're going to ask me questions. What's going on with the Bears, man?
Jarrett Payton. ESPN, the four-letter network, released its quarter-century team of NFL players, and Bears players like Devin Hester, Brian Urlacher, Julius Peppers, and Jared Allen were on it. Former Bears assistant Dave Tome honored as the special teams coordinator. Any omissions stand out, whether Bears or non-Bears?
I guess Aaron Rodgers didn't make the cut, right? Because this is about it's about putting together a team that is an all-century team. So if you were drafted, so Tom Brady made the cut.
Brady, obviously. Mahomes, and Manning.
Brady, Manning, and Mahomes. But that the big one is no Aaron Rodgers, given the career that he's had. And, you know, Mahomes has been unbelievable. But how long has he been playing? It's just a shorter period of time than 25 years. I think the problem here, and I guess, was Charles Woodson on their practice squad? Like, that guy's an awful good player and was a, you know, great player over the course of time. You know, I think you could, I think whenever you're talking about something subjective, which doesn't include, like, if you're a player who has been around the league for the majority of those years, then you got a much better chance of making a team than somebody that was, you know, came in late or left early. So it's just kind of an obvious thing. So the subjective nature of that, they can only consider the time period of the last 25 years. So maybe you weren't at your best at that point. Maybe you were fading away at that point. I think there's the players that made it are all excellent players and deserve it. But I'm sure that we could put together a list and find five or six guys one way or another because it's so subjective.
Well, I wanted to point out that Mully's guy, Kyle Shanahan, is on the list as the quarter-century all-time OC. On that list. So I found that to be interesting. He's a stud, right, Mully? He's a stud. The other thing I love is that, speaking of Aaron Rodgers and his Packer, the only Packer that's on here, and that's also a Bear, and I don't really consider him either a Packer or a Bear, that is Julius Peppers. The only one that even has a Packer connection is
that right?
Is that, uh-huh. In my quick scrolling. Also wanted to point out, and because this also goes with something that I've pounded the table for many, many years, Ray Lewis is listed number one in the five linebackers picked for this team, and it is not in alphabetical order or anything like that. And I will also say that if Luke Kuechly had been a Bear, that he might even be ahead of Ray Lewis.
But Brian Urlacher made it, Dustin. Brian Urlacher made it.
One thing I do want to... the one thing about Brian Urlacher that I don't necessarily give him enough credit for, and it does jump off the page when you look at it, to me, 41.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn good. Like, I mean, he of all the guys on the list of the five, he... not by a landslide, but he has the most sacks of any of the linebackers. But just again, wanted to point out that Ray Lewis is number one.
Wow, grudging respect for Brian Urlacher. It only took you 25 years.
Was that called respect?
Maybe
whatever that was.
I love these lists. It's kind of fun. Good for Dave Tobe getting honored and recognized as a special teams coordinator. Yeah, the Bears that made it deserve it. The ones that might have been missing, you know, Morgan Cox was the long snapper, and I thought Pat Manley had enough time and experience. Maybe it's just more provincial, but he never had a botched snap in all of his seasons, and that's 16 of those in a Chicago Bear uniform. I thought that might be somebody. There's nobody else that really looks like they got snubbed. You look at the running backs outside of Chicago, not from a Bears perspective, but how did Priest Holmes get the nod over Adrian Peterson? That to me was something like, what, really? Holmes, very
good job, ESPN. Good job.
Okay.
That guy's name should never have even been mentioned.
It's a football all-century team. for football production.
I've got a list for him to be on.
It's not a personality contest. But I thought that LT and Adrian Peterson being omitted from this was a little bit strange. The running back selected was a little bit odd. I did not expect to see Priest Holmes on this list. So I thought that was maybe trying a little too hard to be provocative. But I thought the wide receivers, boy, you can't go wrong there. I mean, they're all very, very deserving. And when you mentioned about the Packers, I couldn't help but notice about the Vikings. A lot of players have gone through Minnesota, talented Hall of Fame caliber players, and they have yet to win a Super Bowl.
These are concerns and questions that people are asking.
All right, the Blackhawks, they re-signed Ryan Donato, 4 years, $16 million after Donato scored a career-high 31 goals for the Hawks. What do you think of that price for a 29-year-old coming off a career year? How will it affect their need to trade for established forwards who's a playmaker potentially?
It will have no effect on their offseason approach. It will be something they are still in the market for, whether they want to trade the third overall pick or they want to execute another deal or in free agency. There still will be some guys out there they will consider. Ryan Donato earned this. We look at going rates for third line forwards or centers and overall just guys who have 31 goals. It's not that expensive. It's $4 million per season. And frankly, they had to spend to get to the NHL salary floor. They have $25 million left under the cap to get to the ceiling, but they had to spend to get to the floor, which is now at $70.6 million. So this was something that Brian Donato probably made himself up to $1 million by waiting to sign, by negotiating, I think, in a way that was intelligent. So this was a deal, as they say, that benefits both sides. I'm glad he's back because he earned it, and he had 31 goals. Yes, a career high, but also a team high on a team that has Connor Bedard.
Seems to make sense to me. It doesn't seem like an astronomical amount of money. I'd love to make the money, but I mean, to be a professional athlete, I know NHL players make far less than NFL, NBA, and other big-time sport contracts, but good for him. I mean, listen, let's have some. This is it's a positive. You're keeping a guy around who did well last year. They still got money to spend. I have no problem with this at all.
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable enough salary that if he ends up being able to duplicate that season repeatedly, you get a good deal. And if he doesn't, and you use him differently, if he's not a frontline player but kind of a medium type talent, that's not too much money for him. So I think you found a nice kind of balance in this deal where he doesn't have to be a frontline guy and you still can live with it. And eventually some of these younger players will get better and will be able to kind of take over. So it'll be interesting to see that. I just hope that they don't consider this like their free agent signing. You know, free agency starts, is it two weeks roughly, about 12 days from mm-hmm. now, something like that. I hope they don't feel like, well, we already have been in the market. No, you just brought one of your guys back. Like, make this team a little bit better. Get more to help your young star and your young players. You're going to be, we know they're going to be fast. We know they're not going to be particularly big. Help yourself. Get better. Help them be competitive, right? It's one of the ways to get better is to play with better players. So you want Bedard to kind of break through more than he has thus far. Help him do that. I really think that's important. So we'll see if they do that. But I'd like to see them invest some money and bring in a few players that make them better immediately just so the young guys can learn on the job. We'll find out if they do that. We've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
We will talk to Christine Brennan later this morning about her book, On Her Game, Caitlin Clark and the Revolution in Women's Sports. In it, she digs up some old tweets from Cheryl Reeve, the head coach of the Minnesota Lynx and coach of the U.S. Olympic team, including one that said, quote, "The W is more than one player," end quote. Any complaints the Lynx weren't getting enough television time, but Clark was on for every game. Reeve didn't determine the roster of the Olympic team, but was clearly jealous of Clark.
Yeah, it's one example of several, I think, that the Caitlin Clark phenomenon has created in the WNBA in women's basketball. It's not hard to understand, but it's difficult to maybe comprehend. And those are the same things. Like, why would one player create this kind of animosity amongst her peers that is born out of jealousy? I mean, that has to be the case. The reality is that you just have to look at the numbers, and there's no other player in professional sports who means as much to his or her league than Caitlin Clark means to the WNBA in terms of interest and television ratings, which creates revenue. So there is no more valuable professional athlete to her respective sport or his respective sport than Caitlin Clark. I mean, you go through the leagues. Show me somebody who has more at stake when they're on the court or on the field and creates a bigger disparity when they're gone in terms of interest and viewership. Caitlin Clark, when she was gone for five games, television ratings for WNBA games dropped 55%. When she returned against the Liberty over the weekend, it was the third most watched WNBA game ever. I don't know what the problem is for a sport that is wants badly to be accepted and to grow and to be popular, resisting this idea that she is a big reason why. It's got to be born of jealousy. I don't know how else to explain it. But hopefully Christine Brennan, when we talk to her at 9 o'clock, will help put it into some perspective. And I think it's a positive story, believe it or not. Caitlin Clark is good for sports.
Caitlin Clark is good for sports. Instead of pushing and poking and prodding Caitlin Clark. They should be embracing her. I'm not saying you don't want to try to defend the best player in your sport. I get that. But to push and shove and poke in the eye and, you know, perhaps give her an injury, that's just not smart. It's bad business. David just laid it out. Come on. And they've got a CBA. They want to be treated. They want to be treated like the men. And I understand that. And I'm all for that. But when this particular one person goes out and you lose 55% of your audience, you have to be there to embrace it. And shame on USA Basketball on the women's side for not including her in the Olympics. That was just a dumb decision.
I mean, here's the problem for me. Like, what? Where is the sportsmanship? I know this sounds like a basic thing. I understand that people are highly competitive and everybody wants to win. But the way that this league has turned, like, there's just too many fracases. There's too many moments of mayhem. There's too much of this. Like, I get it. You know, I was here and I am this and I am that and I should be respected. You want to fight for stuff. But like the fact that it's turning to this weird, like, I'm going to poke her in the eye. Oh, if I can. Angel Reese got her hair pulled in the last game. Did you see that? Somebody grabbed her by her hair and pulled on her hair. What are you doing? What, like, how do you actually throw someone to the court? What are you doing? Like, you, hey, just so you know, you can't do that. That you can do a hard foul. Somebody, you can shove somebody if you get into it. You can't just knock someone down or take a cheap shot at some. I don't get this. I don't understand why there isn't more sportsmanship, and I don't understand why they didn't clean it up after last year. Are you telling me that you didn't notice that what was going on?
Well, the WNBA is culpable in some of this.
Oh, totally culpable. Because yesterday,
I think they upgraded one of the fouls to a flagrant two, which brought a fine with it. But it took them too long to get to that conclusion.
It was after the girl threw her to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing?
I don't get it.
And why wouldn't you want to protect the player that doubles your ratings?
Does anyone understand the more they hurt her, the more she will be missing and the less people will care about what you're doing for a living?
It's so weird to me.
It's so strange.
And I don't understand. Like, clearly they got an officiating issue where they haven't gotten control of the game and they're not as disciplined as they need to be. They need to upgrade their officials. And that's training and that's working
with
them. That's
every sport.
But we're used to that.
But especially in WNBA.
But this is just... I mean, like, I don't get it. I don't understand why we're getting to the cheap shot stage as quickly as we have in that league. Has this been going on all along?
I don't know. Playing like this? To be honest, I'm not sure because we haven't paid as close attention to the WNBA.
Honest to God, it's like watching the 90s Pistons when the Bulls were coming up.
It's a little too rugged.
It's just too much. Yeah. They don't allow that in the NBA. Why are they doing it in the WNBA? It doesn't make an ounce of sense to me. And again, you know, why would you kill the golden goose? I don't get that at all. Oh, I really feel like a good goose dinner. The goose is giving you golden eggs. Take the egg that's gold. All right. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Going to be carefully evaluated over the next 36 hours and will likely be listed as questionable on the injury report. And probably will be a game time decision for game six.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Rick Carlisle. He's talking about Tyrese Haliburton, who will be a game time decision. Tonight is game time. Game six is tonight in Indy. They are trailing 3-2 in the series and could be over. The Stanley Cup will be in the building, David, if you understand.
Stanley Cup's over. That's over.
No, but they have it in the building, right? That guy not, with the gloves on.
Not for the NBA. Phil Pritchard can... He's going to be taking it from city to city to city for the Panthers and all of their celebrations.
But they will have the NBA
tonight. It could be over.
Determined tonight.
The Larry O'Brien Trophy could be awarded tonight.
Could be
if
the
Thunder beat the Pacers in downtown Indianapolis, and it will be a game time decision for Tyrese Halliburton. I think that's one of those things you leave up to him. I think he's earned the right to decide whether or not he gives it a go. Yes, there are a lot of implications for, you know, the future and all of those things, but most competitors, if they're in a situation where it's a pain threshold thing or you can't do much more damage to an injury, you probably would expect him to go.
He said that if it's humanly possible, he's going to go.
He's going to play.
So I would expect him to try.
Here's the thing that you worry, though.
If you're Rick Carlisle, you better have a quick hook. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
if he can't run, if he can't jump.
Yeah, it depends on how much of a defensive liability is or if how one-dimensional it makes him offensively.
0 for 6.
He was 0 for 6.
Couldn't hit a shot.
He was 0 for 6 when he was, you know, playing the other night, though. And if he was clearly compromised, it showed. But
right.
I still, this is do or die. You're back home. You're going to get that adrenaline boost. I would not be so quick if I'm Rick Carlisle to make that move because your season's over when you take him off the court. Well, I don't think they have a chance to beat the Thunder without Tyrese Halliburton.
Well, I think that they can. I mean, if they can keep it close, McConnell is a good enough player to be able to tackle it, but he's small. He's not a big enough guard.
He's also good in his spurts, in his spots.
Right. And he
puts, off the bench.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you had to go with him for the second half, you might be able to get away with it. I don't know that he would give you enough for an entire game.
That's probably true.
But I wouldn't. So I may use Halliburton as much as I can. But if he can't get his legs under him and
you have to be judicious with how you use him. But I think there would be a psychological disadvantage if he doesn't dress. But, and doesn't try.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I think you've got to look at this as if the home court advantage that you are counting on for the Pacers. It's in full force if Tyrese Halliburton is out there efforting, giving all he's got to win one in a dramatic way, right? That's part of the atmosphere. That's part of the electricity.
In the last game, they knew they didn't have to worry about him.
True.
It was 4-on-5. I mean, they were compromised, and he was playing, and they didn't have to worry about him or defend him or deal with him. And I think once a team knows that, it's hard to erase that.
Here's the one thing you want to remember, too. And I don't want to be just this, you got to play through pain and you shoot it up and you go out. You want to be smart from this standpoint. If this one trainer, one doctor tells you that this is a precursor to an Achilles injury, you're off.
Yeah.
You're done.
And you're right.
And you don't want to go out there and you don't want to push it.
It's a full year.
Because sometimes you will see these calf strains lead to that. And so if that's part of the conversation, I think it changes the dynamic. But if it's just a matter of the pain threshold and can you go if you're 75%, I think he's going to go.
Yeah. I think he's got to be a minimum of 85 to be effective. I think him at 75, this idea that player is better than anybody else, no, he's not. No, if he can't run, if he can't jump, if he can't get his legs under him for a shot. All right, 312-644-6767. Big stuff going on with the Bulls, by the way.
Yeah, speaking of the NBA.
Yeah, we should discuss that. We'll talk about here's a contract, there's a contract, everyone gets a contract.
Here's your pens.
We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.